This is Justin Savakis, former co-host of ANcast. As you may know, the co-creator and host of this show, Zach Birchie, passed away the week of May 18th, 2020. This episode will be the final ANcast. It's our memorial service, which was conducted online, featuring the voices of over 30 of Zach's friends and acquaintances. As you can imagine, it's been a really hard time for Zach's friends and co-workers, and this program was created to preserve our memories of our friend and colleague. We hope you find it meaningful. ANcast, like the rest of Zach's work for Anime News Network, will live on in the site's archives. I encourage you to check out and explore the back catalog. There's a lot of really great stuff in there. For the very last time, welcome to ANcast.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. And rainbows.
These are our memories of Zach Birchie. Jacob Chapman.
The Florida Project is an independent film directed by Sean Baker and released in 2017 that tells the story of Mooney, a 6-year-old girl who lives with her single mother in a rundown hotel called the Magic Castle. Getting by on the fringes of survival, just a few miles away from the tourists making happy memories at Disney World. Of the hundreds, or maybe thousands, of movies Zach and I watched together, we only saw The Florida Project once. It was the winter of 2018, and we were catching up on critical darlings we'd missed from last year. We both thought it should have been nominated for Best Picture, and we shared the usual hour of swapping our raw thoughts and feelings on the movie that turned into 2 hours, and then three. You could never have a short conversation with Zach, especially if it was about art. You never wanted to stop talking and thinking and feeling with him about the things that made life worth living. That evening we spent watching The Florida Project was just another movie night, a drop in the ocean compared to the number of memories we shared over ritual rewatches of his favorite films like The Lion King, The Muppet Movie, or Lord of the Rings. But now I know it's the movie night that I will remember the most. In the film, Willem Dafoe plays Bobby Hicks, the kind-hearted, stone-faced manager of the Magic Castle, who does his best to watch over his struggling tenants. I realized right away that Bobby's eternal exhaustion, strict management style, and limitless compassion for even his most troublesome renters reminded me of the man I knew better than anyone else. "Hey, that's you," I told him, and Zach laughed, changing his Facebook image to Bobby soon afterward. There were so many days when Zach would stretch himself thin trying to mediate between half a dozen online communities and tangled friend groups, talking to absolutely everyone on a one-on-one basis, but he never let the sun go down on his frustration. He would vent about how everyone was driving him crazy, about how hard he had to fight to get people to understand each other, but then he would sit down, smoke a bowl, and find some way to laugh away all that anxiety. Quoting from another of his favorite movies, Zach would sometimes hold up his finger, nod vigorously, like he was playing to the back of an auditorium, and declare, "We've got every kind of critter, we've got every kind of pest, but we treat them all as equals, just like any other guest." Then, like Bobby, he would make dad jokes at animals and let it all go for tomorrow's Zach to tackle once more. So many of us looked to Zach as an emotional beacon, beleaguered yet passionate, angry yet kind. Zach worked tirelessly to reach into the hearts of people he cared about and encourage them to raise their voices just as loud as his own. But while Dafoe's presence in the movie is necessary and comforting, The Florida Project is not about Bobby Hicks. It's about 6-year-old Mooney. At the end of the film, Mooney is about to be taken away from her mother and the Magic Castle by Child Protective Services. In a panic, she runs to the motel next door, where her only remaining friend, Jancy, lives. Mooney has always been so upbeat, so confident and strong throughout their friendship, that Jancy is scared and doesn't understand why Mooney is crying. Between her sobs, Mooney only says, "Please, you're my best friend, and this may be the last time I'm going to see you. I can't say anything. Goodbye." There's a moment of helpless silence, and then the whole movie changes. The silent, naturalistic world that we knew for the last 2 hours is shattered by a string orchestra that blocks out everything else as Jancy takes Mooney's hand and runs away from the motels, across the field, over the highway, leaping miles in seconds, never stopping, until they reach the gates to Disney World and disappear into the safety of Cinderella's castle, leaving all the heartache behind them as the camera slows to a stop so the two girls can find happiness together in peace. As Zach and I watched this fearless ending, he began to weep. And for a moment, it actually scared me. This was so different from all the other times he had cried at the many, many movies that had touched his heart. He cried often at dumb comedies, at art house movies, at kids' movies. He could never listen to The Rainbow Connection without crying. Not once. Never. Not even once. Even if it was playing in the background in another room while he was working, Zach would take off his glasses, wipe his eyes, and go on with his day. He could barely hear it, but he had to cry. It was one of my favorite things about him. But this was very different. Zach was heaving deep from the pit of his stomach. He was shaking and huddled, unable to speak for minutes, like something long buried was pushing its way up and out of his soul. I put my hand on his shoulder until his cries began to soften, looking to him for some sign of what he wanted me to do or say. He took a deep breath and turned to me, his beautiful brown eyes locked on mine, heavy with realization. He pointed at the screen, at the last escape of Jancy and Mooney, and he simply said, "That's what I did." I grabbed him and squeezed him as hard as I could, holding his face to mine, wishing with all my heart to press our souls into one another and melt out of that apartment into the endless California sky. I know our conversation about the movie we just watched, about life, about everything and nothing, went on for hours afterward, but that's the last thing I remember about that night. While everyone around him saw Bobby Hicks, the gruff, good-hearted manager who herded cats and people into place with his unique, strong, often intimidating perspective, Zach saw himself as Mooney, a child who just wanted a friend to play with forever in the happiest places on Earth. Zach was a brilliant critic, an exceptional empath, and he stood out in a job of his own design that many people envied in this underappreciated niche that we call the anime industry. But he also grew up poor, bullied, and abused and exploited throughout his childhood and even into his adult life. He was such a fun-loving optimist at heart that this chip on his shoulder always took on friendlier forms through countless expressions of his boundless creativity. He had a uniquely dark sense of humor, but it wasn't mean-spirited. He loved absurdity and surrealism, so it gave him joy to find humor in every nonsensical new turn of life, no matter how bleak it might look or sound. Zach also had no patience for injustice, and he would always get angrier at the mistreatment of others, even people who did wrong by him, even people he didn't like, than he would ever get upset at himself being mistreated. Always. I have never known anyone who confronted all their personal beliefs and emotions so deeply and constantly and fearlessly, and yet he was always looking for reasons to laugh and share joy with others first. Zach loved to make conversation, but the talk was never small. He never took "I'm fine" for an answer if he knew it wasn't true. No matter how much you protested, he would reach into the depths of your heart and crack it open for you. It's like he was saying, "Don't be scared of what's inside you. Because I love you, and I know it's beautiful. I want you to know that. I want you to see that beauty too. Don't be afraid." I had never been treated that way by anyone before. I discovered my truest emotions, my deepest beliefs, and my honest identity because Zach wouldn't have it any other way. In truth, I couldn't always appreciate this side of him. Zach's emotional intensity could be a lot for anyone to handle. So he often punished himself for being too much, in his own words, wishing that he could let people into his heart as easily as he left an imprint on everyone else's. He hid it well to protect himself with a great sense of humor and self-righteous pride, but Zach bruised so easily, and he couldn't stop himself from wanting to know what everyone thought of him. Though he would never admit it out loud, I think he wanted to like and know everybody. He secretly believed in the inherent goodness of people, the power everyone had to change their own lives, and a secret invisible space in our hearts where art connects us all no matter how different we seem. Zach wanted everyone to live in perpetual happiness in Disneyland with him, with just a separate little quiet beach for his closest friends, family, and Sora and Donald and Goofy. That was his idea of paradise. Before he passed, Zack found two of his new all-time favorite anime, and one of them was called Keep Your Hands Off Eizouken, a story of three misfit high schoolers struggling to create an anime all by themselves, simply because they know it's what they were born to do. Anyone who knows his life and work can understand why this story meant so much to Zack, but his other new favorite anime speaks even more to the man that I knew. He loved Promare, an action fantasy film about a race of people called the Burnish, who were ostracized because they literally cannot stop burning. It's another metaphor for passionate artists. The heroes of Promare lived to burn, and Zack lived to light up other hearts with the flames that blazed inside him. So his relationships were often fiery, difficult, sometimes even devastating, but they were always warm and real and transformative. No force in the world could stop Zack from being himself, and I will wish with all my heart for the rest of my days that he had never stopped burning. The pandemic that's been ravaging our world did not extinguish Zack's fire, but the quarantine did. Zack had been struggling with self-hatred for his whole life. In recent years, he became more public about this emotional labor in his writing, and we fought many private battles to save his life in the years we were together. When the movie theaters closed, the gym closed, and Disneyland closed, the depression and addiction that burdened him became much worse. He was losing all his outlets to a brighter reality, and living in isolation made it too easy for him to relapse. He kept trying to drown the demons that were telling him he was too much for people. And no matter how much we fought to keep his fire alive, Zack ultimately had to make his own choices. Now we who loved him carry 40 years of his memory, but it feels like it will never be enough. Zack Bridgie was not too much for the world. He deserved to love himself as much as he was loved. And I pray that the warmth of all the lamps he lit in the hearts of millions will reach him in peace somehow. To anyone struggling with loneliness, depression, or addiction, to anyone who believes that no one will understand them and the person they are is just too much, to anyone still afraid to love out loud their passions, their friends, or most importantly, themselves, I implore you to never stop burning. For the man I loved, the man I am, the man he hoped to see me become, I will burn with the people I love forever. And Zack Bridgie taught me how.
Bamboo Dong.
Hi, my name is Bamboo. I've known Zack for over half my life. It's been so long, I don't even remember the exact moment our friendship began. When I think back to college, a lot of what I remember is all the long nights I stayed up, chatting with Zack on AIM, grousing about anime, our relationships, George W. Bush. I don't remember if we became friends first or if he was my editor first. With him, I don't think he ever really made the distinction. He was just friends with everyone. It was easy because with him, you always got 100% pure Zack. Whether you were friends or colleagues, or whether you agreed or disagreed with him, a lot of times the latter, he'd always be 100% unrelenting, unflinching Zack. So it's through his counsel that I got through a lot of my early adulthood. I was thrilled when we both moved to California around the same time because it meant we could hang out in person more than just at anime conventions or the stray field trip to New York. Mostly we saw a lot of dumb movies together, like Night at the Museum 2 and that weird rom-com with Dan Cook that no one remembers, nor should they. We honestly didn't talk that much about anime, despite working closely together at ANN. But we did talk a lot about life and the pressures of life. We walked each other through a lot of bad relationships and a lot of bad breakups. We also talked a lot about love, new partners, new friends, new pets. For someone who cultivated a reputation as being a curmudgeon, Zack loved love. He chased it constantly and craved it and cherished it, not only for himself, but for others as well. He was the biggest champion of love I knew, in all its forms and incarnations. Everyone who knew him knew that about him. Zach had one of the biggest hearts of anyone I've known. And it's a cruel twist of destiny that for all the love he had to give, he barely saved any for himself. That's the Zach I know and remember, too. He was someone who would have given his last pair of shoes to a friend in need, and still never thought he deserved one of his own. But it wasn't always like that. A few years ago, he made a commitment to love himself. And I was so happy because I felt, for the first time, he could finally see himself the way that others saw him. Someone who was kind, who was supportive, who was smart as hell, and who was appreciative of all the smallest things in life. This past week, I've spent a lot of time scouring my phone and my laptop for pictures of all the times that we've spent together. I couldn't find many. For most of the time that I knew Zach, he never wanted his picture taken. It wasn't even until a few years ago that he started taking and posting photos of himself. He was so happy and so proud of himself. But I never got in the habit of taking photos of us together. I wish now that I had so that I could have broadcasted to the world what Zach was like when he was on top of the world. When he shook off his mask long enough to bear the smile he'd save for those moments he thought no one was looking. But for a man who was no stranger to the shadows, Zach truly understood and appreciated and loved the warmth of the light, especially when his friends were standing in it. Whenever someone had a happy life event or did something good, Zach was always the first person to reach out and congratulate them. He celebrated everyone's accomplishments, big or small, with a genuine excitement that radiated nothing but pure support. Whether it was a wedding, or a graduation, or a well-written article, or even a landscape photo on Instagram that he thought was cool, he always reached out to share his appreciation and excitement. He saw beauty in everyday things. When we went hiking, he'd always punctuate the air with an enthusiastic, "Man, this is fucking great." When we were at Disneyland, surrounded by hostile crowds, he'd always laugh and say, "Yeah, this is goofy, but I love it." After my wedding, which was smacked by an unexpected whiteout blizzard, he texted me to say, "Hey man, that was really fucking magical." That's the kind of man I'll always remember Zach Burgee as. Someone who loved his friends, who always rooted for them. Someone who was so accustomed to the dark, but who absolutely loved the light. And even though this past week has been turbulent and terrible, and even though I miss him so much, I'm going to try to do what Zach would have done, which is to seek out the light, fleeting as it may be, and celebrate the heck out of it. And to Zach, thank you for all the things that you've taught me about being a good friend.
My name is Justin Savakis. Zach was my friend, colleague, editor, and partner in nerdiness for 21 years. I'd like to tell you a story. It happened just over 4 years ago. Zach had just had a bad experience that put him in the hospital. He was a big, unhealthy guy, clocking in at around 300 pounds. His blood pressure was a serious issue, forcing him to stay for a couple of nights. And as he later told me, he laid in that hospital bed and had a revelation, or at least what was a revelation to him. "I want to live." He resolved to start treating himself better, recovering to the point where he could walk for any distance. Took some time, but within a few months he was going for walks. Finally, he felt that he could do more. He wanted to do more. He knew that I'd had big life changes a few years earlier, where I lost a bunch of weight and got into shape. And so he asked me to drive down, from LA to Fullerton, to show him what to do at a gym. I knew generally what I was doing, but I had never trained anybody before. I was excited to see my friend, who I was worried about, start to take care of himself. We had our work cut out for us. You remember that scene from The Simpsons where Homer tries to run and gets about 4 feet before cramping up and gasping for air? That was basically where we were at. I showed him proper running form, how to use a rower, a few weight machines, and some dumbbell movements. With each movement, he started out trepidatious, but trusting. and threw himself in with a, "This is going to be a disaster, but if you say so." Within a few reps, a look of surprise came over his face. "Oh, okay, I think I can do this." Zach was off. He started being conscientious about what he was eating. He hit the gym 3 days a week. He'd excitedly text me a few times a week, updating me on how sore he was, how he was progressing, and how great he felt. He got a flow of endorphins going, and his energy level increased, and his mood was noticeably brighter. The fat started to melt away. Over the course of the next year, the dude lost over 100 pounds. The change went far beyond the physical. It was like he got a new lease on life. Chronic pain that came with being so overweight was gone, and suddenly every step became exciting proof of his own potential. Walking became dancing. He wanted to go everywhere and do everything, make up for lost time. He talked constantly about the changes, not just in physicality, but how he carried himself, how he saw the world. The Zach that had always shunned being photographed was suddenly taking selfies and posing with friends. We actually went to see an old favorite electronica musician, Chicane, play at a Hollywood club. He started joining Bamboo, Earl, and other friends for long, grueling hikes in the mountains. He traveled. Zach, a guy whose previous idea of a big night involved making tacos. His good cheer was infectious. He cultivated a large group for his nighttime streams, and though he still got into a few online tiffs, there was a kinder way about him that even some of his detractors noticed. This is the Zach that I choose to remember. He may have been a complicated guy, who was hard to get along with at times, but these years it felt like he could do absolutely anything. He got married. He did some of his best work at ANN. I had a blast with him, introducing him to the world of vinyl, him introducing me to countless video games. He and Jacob moved to Glendale, only about a mile from my place. After a few years, things took a turn. The gym stopped. Life got complicated. Things started to get really bad. I tried my best to be there for him, but there was no more joy. The excitement, the spring in his step were gone. He put on a good face for his online presence and in front of colleagues and acquaintances, but the darkness was returning. I don't have to tell you how that story ends. I stuck around for as much of it as I could, and it's the saddest thing I've ever witnessed in my life. We did what we could. Over the last week, I've been in cycles of anger, regret, and resignation. It's hard. I miss him. For a few years, though, he was incredible. Once he saw what he was really capable of, there was no stopping him. It was those years where he was the most visible, the friendliest, and did the most. And I was so honored to be part of it, and to help him get to a place where he could really shine. That's the Zach I'll choose to take with me through the rest of my life.
Hi, everyone. My name is Kyle Cardine, and Zach was a friend, my editor, and someone who I very much look up to for a long time, and somebody who helped me become who I am today. I was really struggling with what to do with the memorial and what I wanted to contribute, but after doing some research, I think I found exactly what I wanted to do. So I can't sing at all, but I just wanted to read the lyrics to Just One Person, which is a song that was featured on The Muppets, and particularly during The Muppets tribute to Jim Henson. If just one person believes in you, deep enough and strong enough, believes in you, hard enough and long enough, before you know it, someone else will think, if he can do it, I can do it, making it two whole people who believe in you. And if two whole people believe in you, deep enough and strong enough, believe in you, hard enough and long enough, there's bound to be some other person who believes in making it a threesome, making it three people who you can say believe in me. And if three whole people, why not four? and of four whole people. Why not more? And more. And more. And when all those people believe in you deep enough and strong enough, believe in you hard enough and long enough, it stands to reason you yourself will start to see what everybody sees in you. And maybe even you can believe in you too. But you know, can't we just end on something silly? Zach, I will never understand why you chose this song, a reggae song, to be the sound of anime, and particularly your anime podcast. It's just, I never got it. And yeah, you know, I know you switched it up after like 75 episodes of playing it, but like, that's like a year and a half. Man, this YouTube video that I finally found it of the song had 33 views on it, and I've now made it 34, purely because I needed to call you out on this. But you know, I am gonna miss you so much, and I'm gonna keep up this anime stuff because that's how the boss would want it. Take it easy, man. And thank you so much for everything.
Christopher McDonald.
So when I first met Zach, he was just a kid out of college. It was Anime Expo 2001. He'd already been writing for a year, but this was the first time we met in person. To be honest, I don't remember my impression of him all that much, just that he was really smart, he really knew anime, and it was fun to talk to. Obviously, it was a positive impression, otherwise we wouldn't have stayed friends for 20 years. Zach and I argued a lot over those years, but it was always because he wanted to do the best he could for the site, or because he thought someone deserved better treatment from us. And I remember Zach at conventions, Zach would always take time to meet with fans at events. If someone who was a royal pain in our ass walked up to him at a convention, Zach would just say, "Oh, hey there, how's it going?" and sit down and have lunch with the guy. It was just really, really friendly to people, despite, I think, some of his the image he gives. He was just a really friendly guy. I think what I'll miss the most from Zach are the 5-minute phone calls we would have each week. Monday and or Friday, he'd send me a text message asking me if I have 5 minutes to talk. And invariably, we'd end up talking about whatever it is that he needed to talk about, work-related, for about 30 minutes. And then after that 30-minute business call, we'd just stay on the phone and talk for closer to another hour about whatever was on his mind then. It could have been politics. It could have been a really great anime he was watching. Might have been asking about how things were in my life or telling me how things were going in his life. Or it could have been nothing at all, just talking for no reason. And I'm going to miss that, Zach. I'm really going to miss talking to him for long periods of time for very little reason. In fact, this Monday morning I woke up and I thought that I'd talk to him shortly. And I wish that really was the case. I'll miss him. I'll miss him for a long time. And he had a major impact on my life that I think was definitely for the better.
Adam Sheehan.
Hello, everyone. When I first sat down and figured out what to say for this, I thought I might just read what I wrote a few days ago about Zach on Twitter. That all came from the heart, so at first I struggled to find better words to explain how I felt and how I always will feel about Zach. I then realized that would be a waste of good opportunity to talk more about who he was to me, and I expect many of you as well. Zach was one of the best of us, hidden behind a dark curtain made up of the need to push anime beyond where he thought it was the moment, a bullshit gauge set from 1 out of 10, and the best eye rolls the side of a post-ironic hipster working on a screenplay at your local Starbucks. But underneath that curtain was a person who struggled with many things, like we all do. He was funny as hell, but sometimes would laugh at his own jokes before sharing them, worried others may not find them funny. He cared for art in many forms, but didn't always think his work was art. Spoiler alert, it was. He cared for his friends, his cats, and others he did not even know or ever met in person, and yet he didn't always feel like he deserved to be cared for in the same way. Little moments, gifts, and other, "Hey dude, saw this and thought of yous," could mean the world to him. I'm sure talking about him right now would make him happy. And then after a few too many messages, she would say, "Jesus, man, will you all just calm the hell down?" Because that's who Zach was. He poured everything he had in his heart outward, never thinking if someone would send something back his way, but happy when they did. We miss you, man, and we love you.
A Eulogy for Zach by Eric Jansen. Zach Birchie is my friend. I say is because the mere fact that he has departed this world will never diminish the incredible gift of friendship that we shared for more than 16 years. We will always be friends. In recent days, I replayed in my mind our many conversations and tried to recall little details from all the times that we hung out. They're bittersweet now. The good times we shared, our endless debates about pop culture, politics and current events, and the finer details of Star Wars and Fury Road, I try to consciously remember as much as I can and burn these memories of you into my mind, because I know there won't be any more. When we spoke only a few weeks ago, you had told me with a typical sardonic quip that the COVID lockdown hadn't really changed your daily schedule that much, but you were frustrated that Disneyland and Universal Studios remained closed, and that the LA dates for the Taylor Swift tour had been canceled. Life has become so surreal in recent months, and the full impact of your passing still hasn't yet fully sunk in. I just want to pick the phone up and give you a call. It's hard to process. Death seems like an abstract. I'm stunned and dumbfounded. Zach, your impact was undeniable, and your legacy indomitable and eternal. You're the epitome of a good friend in every way, and you have touched and inspired so many people around the world. Your intellect, sardonic wit, and call-it-as-you-see-it attitude were as intrinsic as your loyalty and love for your friends, your understanding, and the lasting impressions you made on the many lives you touched, including mine. You are my friend, Zach Birchie, and I miss you.
Gabriella Ekins.
I've known Zach since I was 16 years old. I began following him after a friend linked me to his Bismcast review. While I was in middle school, adolescence was hard for me, and his streams were my rock during some very difficult times. They cultivated within me a love of media, both the good and the bad, that would set the course for my early adulthood. At 19, he took a shot on me and let me write for Annan. That grew a lot over my time there, and produce some work I'm still immensely proud of. Zach cultivated a space for real hard-hitting progressive anime criticism. He let me publish more than 10,000 words on sexism in Bates Day and Night. He defended me throughout all of the backlash to that. There was no anime site of comparable volume that would do something like this. He was uncompromising, and he encouraged others to be uncompromising. It makes it so much easier to speak out knowing that elders in the community have your back. at a time when anime icon had become synonymous with a Gamergate-style hate creating, he carved out a chunk of that fandom that was welcoming to marginalized people that listen to and prioritize their voices. We need more Zach Birchkeys. They need more Zach Birchkeys. I love you, Zach. You were like an older brother to me, and you impacted me in more ways than you can know. May you have found peace. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Brady Hartle. I guess people listening might know me as a producer at Discotech Media, or as that guy who works at Lab Zero Games. Zach was one of the most caring people I ever knew in my entire life, and one of my closest friends. It's so hard to put into words what kind of loss this is. Before I knew him, I knew of him as the host of Ancast and as a writer for Anime News Network. I found him extremely insightful and funny, and I listened to episode after episode of Ancast during my struggles through weight loss. I met him about 8 years ago. I was talking in his chat during a Twitch stream, and on a whim, he invited me onto Skype while he was playing a bunch of terrible games, probably for like Game Gear or Game Boy Advance. He went through just about every single game possible for both of those systems live on stream through his pain and our amusement. We became fast friends, and I was more or less conscripted into being one of his sidekicks and co-hosts on his Can You Survive movie stream for a good 2 years after that, maybe longer. It's not something that was planned, it just kind of happened. The whole thing was just kind of natural, really. I watched hundreds of movies and TV shows, mostly bad, with Zach and whoever else he brought along for the ride, laughing and making fun of them and analyzing them deeply. He had a love for both good and bad cinema and found merit in, I think, all of it in some way. I feel truly lucky that he shared his unique perspective on film and TV and culture with me, just culture in general. It really opened my eyes as about us as just human beings, and the way he studied things was just a lot of so much about emotion. Like, he just looked at emotion of things more than most people, I think. I had extreme anxiety about being live on the mic back then. Was I funny enough? Did I sound terrible? Will people hate my voice? I feel deeply lucky that he let me work through all that with him for so long and helped me get out of my shell and find a voice. I owe a lot of my ability to just talk to people comfortably to him, and that's because he made it so easy. He from the go, he just treated me as an equal, as a friend, and I'll never forget that. I don't know why the dynamic with him worked so well, but it was something that helped me as just a person in the long run. Even after Can You Survive died down, we would talk on chat or on the phone all the time, and he'd extol something about a new TV show or movie to me. One of the last conversations I had with him was him telling me, "You have to watch Good Omens, Brady. This is your kind of show. You'll really love it." And he was right, but I never got to tell him that, and that really hurts. I just remember him talking about the meta-narrative and how the show was a love letter from one friend to another who passed away, and just how powerful and beautiful it was. The way he looked at storytelling was not like another person I knew or have ever seen in my life. While he had his demons and struggles with depression and self-loathing, and the biggest thing I remember about Zach is his kindness and empathy. No matter what he was going through, he looked after other people. He really cared about them. I personally had a rough couple of years, and not to go into that, but Zach knew, and Zach would always get in touch with me to see how I was doing. If I'd been quiet on Twitter or just haven't said anything for a while to anybody, he would check in on me. He would call me or message me or DM me or whatever. He would get in touch. I saw him do that with me, and I've seen him do that with others. You know, he deeply cared about his friends and the little community he created with CYS. He was super protective of them. One of his favorite movies was Ed Wood, you know, a story about a bunch of misfits becoming a family, you know, finding that everyone can fit in somewhere. And it's very obvious to me why that film touched him so much. He loved the Bill and Ted films as well for similar reasons, you know. The story of two misfits finding their place in the world. One of the last conversations I had with him was about how excited he was for Bill and Ted Face the Music. He wanted all of his friends to get together and to go see it in the Podunk Mall in Arizona where they filmed the first movie. It just so happened to be near where he grew up. He was like, "Brady, we're doing this. I'm gonna make this happen. You better come. You better be there." He was just so excited and exuberant about it, and it might be stupid to get emotional over a movie, but it hurts knowing that he'll never get to see something he was so passionate about. Today I mourn the loss of a great friend, but also a great mind. His unique perspective on art and culture was like no one I had ever met before or will ever meet again. I can't really put to words what kind of person he was. I think if you wanted to impart one thing on people in this life, it's to be excellent to each other. Care about other people, reach out to those in need, especially if you see people hurting. I hope wherever you are, you're at peace and your hurts and struggles bother you no more, dude. I'll miss you forever.
Be excellent to each other. Party on, dudes!
Gia Manry.
When I first met Zach at some Anime Expo after party in 2007, I made some dumb joke about Answer Man memes on 4chan, and he rightly rolled his eyes at it, and I thought, well, crap, I definitely made sure he's going to hate me. But he didn't. Over the next few years, I worked for a couple of sites that attempted to compete with ANN, and he was always open for a chat when I saw him at conventions, even though I was sure he thought I was ridiculous. Then one time I wrote up an article about some industry news. I don't actually remember the piece, but he called me up directly with some comments on the article and some advice. And we ended up talking for the better part of an hour about entertainment journalism and our roles and responsibilities. And his passion for the work, even in spite of all the rough responses that he got with it, blew me away. Eventually, I got laid off at a time that overlapped with ANN hiring, and I got another direct call from Zach offering me a job, and I accepted immediately. I think I forgot to even ask what it paid. Working with Zach helped me grow so much as a writer, and even though I don't work in journalism anymore, his response is always the first thing I think about when I'm writing anything, whether it's a tweet or a work presentation or just something for myself. I actually think he'd give me some guff for worrying so much about how he'd respond to my nonsense, but it's always driven me to try harder and to do better and to want more for myself, just like he always wanted for me and for all of us. I'm heartbroken that I'm not going to get the chance to talk to him again and hear him laugh about bad movies or say something really sharp and insightful about the world, but I'm proud and grateful to have known him, and I look forward to seeing all the people that he inspired continue to make and write and do amazing things.
Hi, this is Retro K283, and 8 years ago, I was introduced to the awesomeness that is Zach Birch, and when I saw his late night streams as cartoons like Captain N and the House of Mouse, it started to branch me out from being a lonesome soul on Twitter to becoming who I am. And when he introduced the concept of Can You Survive? I was immediately hooked. It was such a fun blast. Late night movies till the break of dawn and riffing on them. It was just fun to be part of the chat community and to go nuts, to go crazy and bad messes like Nutcracker Untold Story and Food Fight. And I had the privilege to be a guest commentator with him on my 30th birthday when we attempted to do Crawl. And I was was actually kind of nervous because I didn't know what to say, but it was just really fun to do my best of riffing and to riff with the big guy. And, you know, it's just really hard just to contemplate the fact that Zach is no longer with us. Because even though he's gone, he's always going to be in our hearts. And the CYS became a family. And all I can say is, to quote a song lyric, is that, "I'll find you in the morning sun. When the night is new, I'll be looking at the moon. I'll be seeing you." Goodbye, Zach. Godspeed.
I am George Phillips, former co-editor-in-chief of Anime News Network from mid-2000 to early 2004. Zach was the first and most successful writer I helped nurture during my time at ANN. His first columns with us were Subculture and Answer Man, the latter of which he became most synonymous with. I was the editor for about half of his early work. He wrote the columns, I made recommendations, we tried to do some basic fact-checking, we would clean it up, and publish it. The column that I remember from him most was a Subculture column that he wrote in 2001 in response to another columnist's harsh thoughts on cosplay. Within an hour or two of that other column's publication, he wrote an email to me explaining that he wanted to make a rebuttal. He wanted a quick turnaround, and he specifically wanted no editorial oversight for it. After discussing it internally, we agreed and let him run with it. The result was a candid defense of cosplayers and cosplaying. While his writing style is still very nascent, it was clear that he had a deep passion for anime fans and fandom, and he would go to bat for anyone he felt was being unfairly downtrodden or repressed. In 2000-2001, ANN was basically just an amateur journalism organization with little formal training and a minuscule budget for freelance writers. Even so, Zach was willing to write multiple columns per week for us while he continued taking college courses. I'd like to think that he worked so fervently because he believed in both what he and ANN could become, and I am glad to have been able to work with Zach during his formative writing years. I hope that everybody who knew him can find peace. Thank you.
This is Brian Hansen, former Answer Man at Anime News Network. I first met Zach at the College Anime Club at the University of Arizona, good old TASS, T-A-S-S. And we became pretty good friends when we were both in college. It was very brief. I was a freshman. He was a senior. But he had me try out for his college comedy troupe, and I was brought in. Didn't last for very long, and I don't think I had anything that I wrote performed, which is for the best. But he was such a funny guy. I remember, like, to this day, one of the sketches that he wrote that really sticks with me because I just thought the joke was so bizarre and wonderful was he had a joke with these two really crappy improv performers doing this really hammy bit. One of them was a priest. And so the guy was like, "Hi, I'm a priest. I make $35,000 a year." And it's such an odd joke that this bad improv actor would somehow need to, like, to get in character, he would need to know the salary. And then he thought that the audience needed to know it. It was such a specific and interesting joke, and I don't think anyone else out there, like, I wouldn't say got it, but, like, understood why it was funny. He just had such a unique voice and a unique sense of humor, and he mixed both, like, these very kind of interesting and odd jokes with, like, just an endless fountain of compassion and love for people, You know, I think I speak for everyone who's ever worked with Zach that, you know, such a terrific person, such a smart person, extremely funny, and Zach left behind an entire community of people that were touched by Zach, and, you know, this is as tragic as it gets, but, you know, we are all definitely better having known Zach and experienced a lot of the warmth that he brought to everything that he did, and passion and compassion. You know, it's been a tough week, but it's very heartwarming and very touching to see everyone come together and celebrate Zach's life and work. I'll miss him a lot.
Luis Torres. Zach was not only a huge influence in anime criticism, but he also created a small but cohesive group in CYS. His warmth and acceptance fostered it even through 8 long years. I met a few of my best friends thanks to him. I still hear his voice in my head, with his playful attitude. I still feel his strength to always put others above himself. I still feel his determination to follow what he believes is best. But I remember the first time I met him in person at Anime Los Angeles in 2017. His schedule was free, so I was able to hang out with him for a while. I spent most of that day with him and Corey. We walked, talked, and gawked at the dealer's hall. He was just so genuinely happy and excited to be able to experience the con with friends instead of work. Here I was, with people I thought were extremely out of my league, but Zach made it feel so personable, so friendly. But due to that reluctance, he called me extremely normal. I made sure to never let anyone think that again. I met him time after time at cons since, and he knew I was a weirdo, and I was happy I was able to show him who I was. I'll miss you, Zach. Your voice is permanently a part of my life in so many ways.
Hello, this is Eric Stimson. I wrote for ANN in the interest section from 2013 to 2017, and I've been following Anime News Network since high school. It was one of my gateway guides into anime, and Zach was always a contributor to the site as far as I knew. I'd always thought it would be great to meet him, and one day I was actually able to do that in Otakon at 2017 when I was a writer for the site. And at the time, I was interested in writing an article and felt it would be kind of a tough sell because it was about a fetish, but I thought it was a compelling subject. And I did manage to have a conversation with him on the way to our hotel from the convention center, but somehow I ended up taking him to task over his opinion of Rinne. In hindsight, it's probably not the smartest thing to do because he's gotten plenty of nerds disagreeing with his opinions over the years, but he ended up being very apologetic and admitted he had gotten a lot of flack about it over the years and offered for me to write an article instead. And I demurred, saying no, I'm not that big of a fan of Rinne. Like, I'll admit it had its shortcomings, but I was very flattered that he would immediately offer me the opportunity. And later, I did get a chance to pitch my article to him, and he was clearly in a hurry, getting in an elevator at the time. But he listened and agreed to the pitch, and later the article was published. And I'm very grateful to him that he was able to grant my request. And he came off as a very nice and welcoming guy, pretty different from his online persona. And I'm glad that I got the chance to meet him. I would have loved to have spent more time with him. In the meantime, I always have his podcasts, which I listened to for many, many years. It was always kind of like a surrogate friendship for me. I really miss him, and I think a lot of those long car rides won't be the same without him.
My name is Cindy Sibilski. I am a freelance writer for Anime News Network since 2018 from New York, and that's when I first encountered Zach. Since then, he has become my favorite editor. He always inspired greatness, and his passion and enthusiasm really made me strive for exemplary writing. He was such a positive person, always urging one on to their personal best. And I had a story that I was doing a review for him for a certain film, and it just wasn't quite hitting the mark. He was very critical about when things were too marketing speech and wanted me to delve a little deeper. And I appreciated that he was honest about that, didn't just publish it, but gave me a chance to go back and tackle it again. And when I sent him, with kind of guided by his direction, the new piece, the sheer excitement in his email and on the phone was so encouraging. It really bolstered me as a writer and gave me a completely new perspective to look at things. That was a huge moment for me. The other thing about Zach is that he treated all freelancers like staff. We felt like we were part of the family, no separate, no less than. He would say yes to all of my crazy proposals and ideas, and was so enthusiastic and just passionate and generous of heart and soul, even to the point where if there was ever anything misunderstanding or controversial, he would always talk it through. We had many phone calls, many emails, though we were on different coasts, and the news of his loss was shocking and devastating to me. He will be so, so greatly missed by many, including myself. And I wish, like others, that I could have gotten to know him in a different way and had karaoke'd sometime. But much love to the memory of this beautiful, incredible soul and his family and friends.
This is Sarah Pocock speaking. This feels so difficult to begin. Where do you begin to talk about a person whose personality, whose humor, whose kindness and generosity spanned oceans? There's so much to say about Zach's dry humor. He found life endlessly hilarious. Every conversation you had with him, no matter how serious, was inevitably punctuated by the most hilarious joke you'd hear that week. He was also ready to argue at the drop of a hat, passionately debating almost every subject, although politics and media were his subjects of choice. I know these are qualities appreciated by the many who knew and loved him. But Zach, to me, was first and foremost a bottomless well of empathy and compassion. He was a constant pillar of support through every obstacle, every heartache, every questionable decision in my 20s. Whenever I fucked up or just felt fucked up, Zach was always a text or call away. He would listen patiently to every problem, no matter how granular, reserving his judgment, for the time being at least, and being just the best sounding board you can imagine. When he gave advice, he always told me what I needed to hear. He was tough but fair. He pulled me up during some of my darkest moments. He would be so embarrassed if he was hearing this. "Jesus, Sarah, I think they get it. Please stop." The last time I saw Zach in person, he was at my place. We sat on my deck, overlooking my beloved Silver Lake neighborhood, with Glendale peeking out from behind the hills in the distance. We were smoking weed and talking about our lives, a ritual we indulged every few months, purging ourselves of stress and getting the things off our chest that we needed in order to continue functioning as viable adults. After a brief lull in the conversation, he suddenly burst out laughing and pointed at a billboard in the distance. For those of you unfamiliar with LA, an organization called AHF, or the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, owns billboards all over the city and frequently warns its residents of the dangers of venereal disease. One of those billboards happens to be a few blocks away from my home. At the time, it happened to read, Syphilis Explosion. After a few minutes of laughing until we were crying, he was finally able to choke out, Great view you've got here, which just set us off again. I miss you, Zach.
This is Deb Aoki, remembering Zach Birchie. I don't remember how or when I met Zach in person for the first time, but he's been my long-suffering, ever-patient, and always encouraging editor at Anime News Network for several years now. I'm sorry. I still can't believe I'm doing this, since I kind of don't believe he's not going to be there the next time I go to an anime convention, or the next time I find something cool in Japan that I want to send him. Zach, as anyone who knows him will tell you, was an amazing friend. He was whip-smart, funny, and endlessly curious and in love with pop culture in all of its forms. He could be sarcastic and cynical sometimes, but he was also sincere and humble. He had a big, open heart that would surprise you with his willingness to be real and vulnerable, even when he would, on an everyday basis, deal with some of the worst that the internet would throw at him. A few years ago, I asked Zach if he would be in the Best and Worst Manga panel that I organize at San Diego Comic-Con every year. He'd tell me he was more of an anime than a manga guy, but he was a good sport, and he'd read up on what was new. He always gave a spirited and convincing defense of the manga he picked as the best and worst new reads of the year, even as the audience would gasp, boo, or cheer for his choices. He seemed to be having a good time, and I'm glad I could see him have a good time doing it. That was Zach. He was always up for a challenge, and he knew how to roll with the punches. I especially treasure the times it would be just him and me, just shooting the shit about what was going on, how things are going, how he was doing. I'm notoriously lousy on deadlines, but Zach always treated me with professionalism and compassion. Zach launched so many careers, encouraged so many people to go from being fans to pros. We all owe him a huge debt. My only regret is that he didn't really know how much of an impact he made on so many people. I hope somehow, some way, he knows now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lindsay Loveridge, and I was Zach's co-conspirator for all things anime for the past 9 months. 9 months is misleading because our relationship really spans back years. Zach wore so many hats, but to me, he was like a brother. Even at his lowest points, he'd heap on the compliments and thank yous like he couldn't accept that I wanted to be there for him, and I still do. I want to eat burgers in downtown LA and watch stupid movies for Ancast. I want to brainstorm more pitches while we both groan about the list ideas, and I want to spend hours stoned and laughing on the phone. We talked daily, not just about work, but about philosophy and personal relationships and art. That was the good shit, he'd say whenever we got to talk about a movie that really nailed its emotional timing. When he could see the humanity in something, that was the good shit. And he was right. Is there really anything more important than the feelings that tie us together? Sharing those feelings, whether it's the elation of creating something or articulating all the sharp edges that hurt him, he wanted to connect. More than anything, that's all he really wanted. And I miss him so much.
This is Evan Minto. I first found Zach when I was a teenager reading Anime News Network. He was amazing to me. He was somebody who turned his love of film and animation into a real career as a journalist. He really represented to me what it meant to be a journalist working in this industry. He had a deep appreciation for the art form and combined it with an unparalleled ability to cut to the heart of a story and take it apart, the good and the bad parts alike. When I started writing reviews, I was emulating Zach. And to this day, I'm still striving to write articles that compare to his work. Years later, we became friends through chatting online and meeting up at anime conventions. And it never really stopped being this amazing thing that I was able to be friends with this hero of mine. I'll always remember the time when we were walking back from dinner at Anime Expo, and Zach casually mentioned to me that he'd love to publish my articles. To him, it was probably just a little thing, just reaching out to another writer. I never told him that it was one of the proudest moments of my career. I remember spending time with Zach at convention dinners and at Odebrew, where we would sit together at the non-drinkers table and share a root beer. I always looked forward to having time with him to discuss the latest anime premiere we had just watched earlier that day, or vent about some stupid Twitter drama. Every single time I came away with some new insight, some new piece of trivia, or even just a phrase, you know, he had a way with words. He was incredibly smart and witty, but like many of the best communicators, Zach was above all a great listener and confidant. At anime conventions that were often frenetic and exhausting and sometimes frustrating, Zach had a way of grounding you. Whatever craziness you were going through, he had been there, done that, and he could crack a joke about it. And even when I was writing articles for other outlets, I would sometimes reach out to Zach and ask him for help with how to work out some issue with a publisher or how to best approach an interview. When I was a kid, I had a ton of respect for Zach as a writer, and I still do. But I now know that beyond that, he was an incredible person, kind and passionate and committed to making the world a better place. I'm so proud to have called him my friend. Thanks.
This is Darius Washington, and I still can't believe I'm having to do this. A long time back, I saw Anime News Network evolve and become bitter. At the center of this, I saw a new reporter named Zach head right into every topic he could with his unapologetic opinions and brash attitude. I'd see him hit every panel possible alongside, over the years, Lindsay, Gia, Egan, Bamboo, and the crew. At just about any con I'd attend and work at to do coverage while doing work for my own assignments. He'd be there in the panels and press room, prepping hard and hitting the private interviews. It was always fun to watch him in action and talk with him in between just about everything that that was happening at the show. I'd catch up with him later at this one event during Anime Expo, where I'd also see Justin and Christopher, and it was always fun talking with him there about bullshit and whatever there was. Movies were often a favorite subject, as he loved them like you wouldn't believe. He loved writing about them and just talking about them. In later years, I'd see him walking around cons with Jacob, and he seemed to mellow out a little bit. He'd always be having fun whenever they're together. And he also began losing weight and changing his overall look, to the point where I'd see him online and at cons or in my Facebook, and I couldn't resist saying to him, "Good morning, Mr. Stark." Really, it would not have surprised me to have seen him pop up out of red and gold armor at some point. He took it just looked like Tony Stark now to me. I love reading his work and taking in the Ian and Cass and hearing about how much he loved Ranma and Sailor Moon and Evangelion, among other things. I'm going to try Aikiden at some point, thanks to him. His movie opinions, however, would always contradict my own. And so his piece on Star Wars, The Last Jedi, was one for the ages. I wound up disliking that movie for many reasons, but his piece on Luke Skywalker's depression and evolution was one thing that made me think about life as a whole, and while I'm not entirely changed my opinion of the film, I don't dislike it as much as I once did entirely due to that article. I have no pictures of our encounters, unfortunately, and that's sad. I've always believed that being older, I'd outlive him and that I'd always see him at AX, if nowhere else, to have our talks. I'm truly going to miss him. A few hours before the news of his passing was publicly announced, I found myself writing out this haiku about him for absolutely no reason. You know who you are, hoping that you have fought that which you have sought. Safe travels, my friend.
Evan Miller.
Zach would always let you know how he felt about something, but the most remarkable thing about him is that it didn't dull his sense of empathy. When I would go on and on about up-and-coming artists, he pushed me to write a column about it that changed my life, and I know he did the same for so many people who were lucky enough to work with him. I will always treasure the times after hours at conventions and in Japan where we would just stay up late and talk about anything under the sun, from movies to relationship issues and all other things. He was always down to come out for karaoke and game nights, and even if he didn't agree with the opinions of his friends, he was always willing to listen, and always, always, always willing to be a corner of support for them. I hope he knows how much he means to me and how much he meant to all of us.
This is Charlene Ingram, a tribute for Zach. So much can be said about Zach, the tough and dogged journalist, one of anime's greatest advocates, and for me, a dear friend. From way back in the beginnings when I joined the anime industry some 12 or so years ago, Zach always made it a point to let me know that he believed in me. And I was so nervous working with him after having followed his work on Anime News Network so many years before. And every year at the Anime Expo industry party, he would make it a point to come and tease me about whatever over-the-top and flamboyant sparkly dress I'd surely be wearing. He'd say, "Oh, you're too powerful, Char. You're just too powerful," and he'd shake his head. And then we would talk and geek out over all the great anime that had come out that year and what we were looking forward to. But inevitably, we'd always come back to our shared love of Utena and how we both, in our own way, we wanted to revolutionize the world. Zach loved anime so much, and every project I worked on, I wanted it to be a big enough of a deal that someone like Zach would come and cover it. So I'll never forget, during my promotions for the Sailor Moon R movie, he came out to Studiopolis to interview the cast, and I just figured that with all his history in the industry, he'd surely been there many times before, but he hadn't. And seeing him geek out, getting the tour around the studio and hearing about its history and all the wonderful things that were recorded there, and seeing him enjoy all the toys in the Foley room, and how wonderful he always was with the cast. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget his smile. And Zach, it's not going to be the same without you here. But you did it. You're the one who did it. You revolutionized the anime world. You made it a better place. And I know for me, I won't be the same without my dear friend. But I'm going to do my best to be up to your exacting standards. I'm going to miss you so much. I'm going to miss you so much without you in all of our lives. You are so loved. I miss you, and I love you, my dear friend.
My name is Giancarlo. Zach Birchie's CYS dreams gave me an anchor, a thing I could hang on to during a lot of really, really rough moments in my life. He was a guy who was deeply invested in making sure that the people around him were safe and well cared for, and he fought to make sure that we all have a safe place in the world. And that's a very special thing to me. But he was also a very funny guy, and he wasn't above, you know, giving someone a gentle ribbing, and I appreciated his humor. I appreciated his candor, and I appreciated that wit he had. He was a very special man, and he's going to be very terribly missed. We're all very lucky to have had him in our lives.
Rob Bricken. I don't remember the first time I met Zach, but I remember the first times I met Zach. I was going to my first anime conventions for Anime Insider in the early aughts while he was already working for Anime News Network. We immediately saw in each other nerdy, kindred spirits. We fanboyed out over what we loved, gleefully crapped on the junk we didn't, and laughed cynically at the crazy nerd world we found ourselves living in. At every convention we both attended, we met up and talked for hours, which was inevitably a hell of a lot more fun than the cons themselves. I hired him at Anime Insider as quickly as possible, partially because he knew more about anime than anybody I'd ever met, but also just because I wanted to keep hanging out with him. But Zach was miserable in New York, and he moved to Los Angeles, rejoined ANN, and headed straight to Disneyland. I was upset at losing his talent, of course, but I was more upset because it felt like he was abandoning me. It hurt badly, and I was a jerk about it. I'll always regret this. Here's one of the more amazing things about Zach, though. When I met up with him a few years later, surely at some con, I came up and apologized to him and tried to excuse my shittiness by explaining that I'd recently been diagnosed with depression, but he cut me off with a hug. "I'm just glad you're all right," he said, smiling, and Zach never once held the past against me. We've chatted sporadically for more than a decade and a half, and it's always been the same. One of us called, the other one picked up, and we started talking as if we were resuming a conversation we'd had to put on hold earlier that morning. Zach had his demons, and I'd met them a few times. He was a man who hated himself for so long that it's a testament to his strength and character that he was able to stop drinking, get married, and turn his life around. I'd be lying if I said he became a completely new man, because he wasn't, not exactly. He was still brilliant and funny and smart. But he'd finally uncovered the Zach that had been so buried under all those years of self-loathing. I was overjoyed to see him so overjoyed. This happiness made him appreciate art even more, and it made him a better critic. Zach wanted to talk about what he loved, what made him happy, and hear from others what made them happy too. He was fascinated by the creative process itself, and his enthusiasm was always infectious. I have a long list of things Zach told me I had to see that hurts me every time I look at it. When I watch them, I know he'll end up right, every time. Even as the real world went to hell and Zach's own life became more contentious, and his demons crowded around him once more, he never stopped caring for others. He gave so much for other people's sake that it was sometimes to his own detriment, and he knew it too. When I asked him why he did it, why he didn't just stop and prioritize his own needs for once, he said, "Who am I if I don't offer help that I can give?" It sounds corny, but neither of us laughed. Zach was entirely serious. And eventually he gave everything he could until he had nothing left for himself anymore. I'm furious at Zach, and depressed, and grateful, and guilty, and lost. I don't understand, and I understand perfectly. I'm cherishing the time we had together, but I'm enraged all the time I'll never have. It's a dark, shitty world that's only gotten worse without Zach in it. My only solace is that my life has been so much better for having him in it as long as it did.
Hi, I'm Mike Toole, and for almost 20 years, I was a colleague and friend to Zach Birchie. The whole problem with getting older is that not everybody gets to do it. None of us expected Zach to leave the trail this early, but here we are. The Zach that I'm here to remember was playful, cynical, maybe even a little mean at times, but oftentimes very earnest. He loved and cared for his friends and colleagues, and the various media of moving pictures, films, animation, TV, they sparked joy in him to such a great extent that he devoted a 20-year career to exploring it. When he sat down to write commentary on something that he truly loved, or maybe didn't love all that much, his words would crackle with energy, practically leaping off the screen, burning with rock and roll fire. Let me talk for a minute about the Zach I knew. I first worked directly with Zach in 2004, the year of Wolf's Reign, of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Movie, and of course, Heat Guy J on MTV2. At the time, he was associate news editor at Anime Insider magazine, which means he'd handle a feature or two, but also he did fun stuff like writing silly little captions and lining up the writing staff to handle the magazine's various stories. He took me on to write a few news pieces, which I found fascinating. At that point, I'd been writing for close to a decade, but often via really informal arrangements. I knew that I could write well, but Zach taught me to pitch a story. He taught me to develop the story and then to sell it and sign a contract and submit an invoice afterwards. Those are valuable professional skills that I saw him readily share with various writers far and wide over the years. I'd watch Zach help grow Anime Insider into the premier anime magazine on American newsstands, and then just like that, he hopped back across the country to take a larger role at Anime News Network. The site had this feature called Answer Man, and there have been several Answer Men. Rebecca Bundy was kind of relaxed and genial, Brian Hansen had this explosive enthusiasm, and of course, the most recent Answer Man, Justin Savakis, was just very droll and informative. Zach was my Answer Man. He was fun, but also pretty punchy, combative, maybe a little even moody and mean. He had to toe a weird line in the 2000s. He was shepherding the site from an era of DVDs and rampant piracy to a more modern age of streaming video, Blu-rays, and rampant piracy. Now the site's one of the biggest anime websites in the whole world, and features he developed, like the quarterly institution that is the preview guide, are enjoyed by thousands of fans all over the world. Something that has struck me in the wake of his passing is the number of people who spoke about reading his work over the decades as they grew into adulthood. To cast a shadow like that is amazing to me. Working more closely with Zach, as I started doing in 2010 with the advent of my column at Anime News Network, was also a revelation, mainly because he just kind of let me off the leash. I'm not used to editors doing that, man. He gave me leeway to pursue subjects that interested me, and he was always excited to see what I had for him. He seldom interrogated my process. If he had a suggestion, I took it, because it invariably made my work better. When I stepped away from the column last year, mostly due to burnout, we didn't even need to have a formal conversation about it. He just understood that I needed a break. That's the kind of professional that Zach was. He always just seemed to know what his people needed. I'm getting a little long-winded here because I kind of struggled to paste this monologue together and whittle it down to a reasonable length. I also turned it in late, which is, that's something I do. I sure could have used an editor to clean it up. I am going to miss my valued colleague, and God damn it, I miss my friend Zach Birchie. Those of us who knew him well knew that Zach was very good at taking care of his friends, his colleagues, his staff, and his contributors at ANN. But he struggled at times to take care of himself. So, in remembrance of Zach, I'm hoping that we can all remember to take care of each other and to take care of ourselves.
My name is Evan Jones. I met Zach in the late 2000s through friends when I was actively writing about Japanese animation, and I wanted to say a few words in his honor. I'm not going to act like Zach and I were blood brothers or anything, but he did have a place in my life, and we definitely spent time together and got friendlier as the years passed. To be 100% honest, at first we both seemed to vaguely dislike one another for the same petty, dumb reasons internet geeks would dislike one another. But then we were on a panel at Anime Los Angeles and we had a good time and had some pleasant exchanges, and that was really cool. Here and there over the years, I'd run into Zach at industry events and the like, and it was always cool to catch up with him. Later, I ended up doing some work for ANN and I enjoyed it. To my surprise, Zach did too, and we kept in touch. Eventually, we'd all go out for big meals and karaoke parties, and honestly, I was incredibly surprised. I'm really unsure of how to say this, but just hear me out. Zach was way, 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 way more fun than I'd ever thought he could be during these things. I knew he was an interesting guy, I liked talking to him, but it was like he was a charisma machine on two legs. Everybody just loved him, and he was a blast to be around. I remember him turning to me one night and complimenting my girlfriend, this bright gleam in his eye, and he just goes, "She's cool, man." He was so happy. I bring all this up because, yeah, Zach had his grumpy moments, but in an industry filled with people who burn out and become sick and tired of reviewing 50 shows a season, there was nothing more charming and heartwarming than an enthusiastic and excited Zach Birchie. I'll remember a lot about Zach. I'll remember that he was a sweet, caring, yet complicated guy with a deep knowledge of media and a great, yet often sharp sense of humor. And yes, he cut me once or twice, and I deserved it. But what I'll remember most is that he cared, even when he didn't have to. The last time I saw Zach, he came over to my girlfriend's house, and we recorded a podcast about writing, art, media, life, creativity, and balancing everything. It was a legitimately amazing discussion and a great time. I remember we both had a feeling of, "Oh wow, this is really fun," written on our faces. We talked until the sun went down, literally sitting outside in the dark riffing on sci-fi and whatever have you. I'll never forget how warm, friendly, funny, and relaxed he was that night, or his thousand-mile-wide smile. That was the last time I saw him, and that's how I still think of him. Zach touched a lot of people's lives. It's been wonderful to see so many people catch up with one another and to exchange pleasantries and talk about him. I just wish it wasn't under these circumstances. I know Zach appreciated people listening to his thoughts, and I know he appreciated and loved his friends, who are so numerous that I'm too nervous to even begin to list them for fear of leaving somebody out. But you know who you are, and as somebody who considered himself to be one of them, I have to say, I'm going to miss you, Zach. Thanks for listening. Take care of yourselves, be safe, and be kind to one another.
Corey Barnes. The first time I even heard who Zach Birchie was, I read an article on Anime News Network about the reality show Heroes of Cosplay. It was a terrible, terrible show, and Zach just went off on it, and that's when I realized I really need to follow this guy. Coincidentally, at the time, my friend had stopped his bad movie club, but Zach had his own, and I became a regular viewer. And soon enough, we met up at Anime Expo, and I was giving him DVDs of bad movies to watch on his movie club. And it was always fun to hear him laugh at those movies and whoever was on with him. But we kept in touch after that, and met a few more times, and before I knew it, I was watching him get married on top of a Haagen-Dazs at Disneyland. Not too far after that, Zach would, by sheer coincidence, not only move to Glendale, but become my neighbor, as he moved in only a couple blocks from my house. After that, we started hanging out a lot more. I got to show him around Glendale, but most of what I liked was he would trust me to take care of his pets, which was always a treat, because Boston, Philly, Olive, they're quite the characters. And he would always give me instructions on how to feed them. I would always have to take pictures of them just to send to Zach to give him peace of mind. And I never really wanted to leave the apartment because I just wanted to sit around and play with the cats. It's unfortunate that the breakup was so what it was, because afterwards I didn't talk to Zach very much. I did get to catch up with him at Anime Expo 2019, but in hindsight, I really wish I had reached out more to him and just reminded him that, you know, if he ever needed someone to talk to, that I was just right around the corner. But, you know, it's sad it had to come to this. I thought this was something that we wouldn't be talking about for decades. But rest in peace, Zach. You built an incredible online community of people who have made friends. Some of them have even gotten in relationships. And that's a big accomplishment, man. And we're all going to miss you, buddy. See ya.
My name is Samantha Ferreira. And honestly, I owe Zach Birchie a lot. Without him, I don't think Anime Herald would be the publication it is today. While we crossed paths from time to time, had a few short chats at, say, conventions or online, I only really met him personally at Anime Expo in 2018 at the industry party. It was during that time we had a fairly lengthy conversation, talked a bit of shop, and during that I mentioned that we were starting to shift gears just due to some things going on in the back channel, some more personal aspects. And he paused for a moment and remarked, "You know, I always liked your longer content more. It really feels like you guys just had it in your heart more." At the time, I was kind of stunned that he even read our stuff, let alone knew enough to give like a real commentary or feedback or anything like that at the drop of a hat. But, I mean, it was probably the first real push that we had towards the format that we ultimately adopted today. And honestly, I just wish I could say it sooner, but thank you, Zach. The anime world is poor without you. We will all miss you.
Hello, my name is Sean Forster. Zach and I first met officially online through his live stream. He knew me through a mutual friend of ours, Corey Barnes. I would hang out at his live stream. I'd be on call with him. And then there was one random night, early 2017, where he noticed I was in the chat and he wanted someone to come on and he invited me on. And, for whatever reason, I'm still trying to figure out to this day, he kept asking me back, and that kind of dumbfounded me a little bit.
The fact that I'll never get to chat with him like that again has finally started to hit me. I finally got to meet him in person at Anime Expo 2019. Went up to him and told him to stop letting that annoying guy on CYS that tries too hard to be funny. But I was always happy to be a part of that. In a weird way, it was like I was back on the radio again, even if I wasn't doing sports talk. It was always a lot of fun. One thing I always respected about Zach was his strong opinions. I know how difficult that can be to deal with when it comes to interacting with an audience or readers or even your friends. But like others who have those opinions, he always backed them up. He was never afraid to speak out against something he thought was wrong, whether it had to do with anime or just everyday life. He was a strong voice in our community, and he won't be easily replaced. One of my favorite moments being on Can You Survive with him, somehow the topic of Drew Carey having a sex dungeon came up. My response, like many of you, was confusion. And Zach was astounded that I was unaware of this common knowledge due to the fact that I worked in radio. I had to quickly remind him that I worked in sports talk radio and that my day usually involved talking about the Dallas Cowboys and LeBron James. Zach treated me like a friend, even though he only met me once in person. He always treated me like anyone else and that he considered a friend. We had good times together, and I wish we could have had more. When I was in the hospital a few months back, he mentioned my name during the stream, and I really appreciate that. I was actually able to watch that stream from my hospital bed, and I always appreciated that I was missed. You know, Can You Survive was our own little special online club, and as just at least as a viewer, I was with it from almost the beginning. And I feel like everyone who's a part of it, we're all a big family. And while we may have lost Zach, well, we still have each other, and his spirit lives on here with us all. I like to think that there's an afterlife, and that Zach gets to sit on a bench with Jim Henson and shoot the shit with him for days on end. And that eventually they end up creating a new Muppet show, and that there's a spot for us, all of us backstage, when we all get to meet again. We'll miss you, Zach.
Stephanie Shea.
So before I share my thoughts on Zach, this is Stephanie Shea, by the way, it should be noted that I am recording this in the very booth that the first several Ancasts were recorded in. I've been interviewed a lot over the last few decades. Being interviewed by Zach and being on his podcast was always something fun. I always looked forward to it. Whenever he asked, I would jump at the opportunity, and that's not lip service. It never felt like work, and most of the times these interviews do. Part of it is probably because Zach was a friend. I knew Zach from Justin and Michael and from, the ANN parties and at conventions. He was always very informed. He always knew what I was working on, and he was professional and he was supportive without being sycophantic and always had interesting questions. Also, I always felt safe. I'm just an actor in terms of the industry and the fandom. I have not kept up with all the shows. I never had to worry about coming off as a dummy or not knowing because Zach was a wealth of information. He was intelligent, smart, funny, and really kind. And he just put you at ease. They say something about, it's like an acting term, right? One of the things that that has value as an actor is what they call likability. And Zach just was very, very likable. I went back before recording this to listen to some old Ancasts. I thought it would make me sad, but you know what? It made me feel warm inside hearing Zach's voice and his jokes, his asides, his comments. It actually really warmed my heart, and I felt really, really grateful. The other thing about Zach is I always respected his opinion. So, yeah, I don't have a specific story to share about Zach, but it's love and respect that I've felt for him accumulated through all of the years. I cannot express how appreciative I am as someone who takes my art and my profession really seriously in an industry that's not taken seriously, I just cannot express how much love and appreciation I have for Zach as a human being and for everything that he did, because his love and his appreciation for this industry really showed, and I actually think it bettered the community. We joke that anime is like the redheaded stepchild, but I don't think that was Zach's view of it. You know, he analyzed it and he appreciated it just as any other genre medium of film. It's what I think I'm gonna remember the most and hold on to about Zach, and try to never forget in all the work that I do in the future.
This is Jackie Jing, and I am talking about Zach. To start, I am just heartbroken to hear about his passing. Zach was always immensely kind to me, and he was just so funny. He made me laugh so much, and I knew that he was facing a lot of challenges, but every time we talked on the phone, he sounded so positive, and he just had a good heart. And it's always hard when you lose someone like that, because you're just like, wow, like, this world has lost that goodness, you know, and it just hurts. I have lots of fun stories with Zach, and I really only knew him for roughly a year. And we met at this Alita escape room kind of event right before the movie came out, and somehow we got like picked to be in the same group. And I was absolutely fangirling when I found out he was the Zach from Anime News Network. Like, I just remember I was like, wait, what? And I was like so excited to meet him, because I had been reading Anime News Network, gosh, since I was like in high school, maybe even middle school. I think middle school. And, I was blown away, because for me, he was just like on a different level when it came to being an anime fan. I mean, like he was not even an anime fan to me. Like, he was just on this higher level. He was like so above me in my mind, you know? And, I just remember he was so humble and sweet and kind. And then he brought me on to Anime News Network to make videos. And I love the creative process with him and Lindsay. Like, we were all motivated to make these great educational videos that were fun. And he always had great feedback for me and was always so encouraging and so kind to me. And I don't know, it's just going to be hard. It's hard to even talk about anime, and it's something that's always been a part of me and I've loved so deeply. And I'm just so thankful that I met Zach, and I'm so grateful for his massive influence and impact on this community. And I mean, we're just all hurting, and Zach, I know you're in a better place, but we miss you, and thank you. Thank you for being such a bright light while you were on this earth. And yeah, you could be a little sarcastic, a little sardonic, but you always made me laugh. I always thought you were just so, so funny and so sweet, and we're going to miss you.
Hey, Zach, it's Michael Center Nicholas. I guess I wanted to let you know that for years now, I had a little trick I was going to play on you. Came out of a conversation with Justin about the degree to which you believed in yourself as a writer. And what I thought it would be really fun and clever to do is to kind of force you to write something under the guise of it being some kind of assignment or need this done or just help me out and just do it and basically convince you that it needs to get done right now, don't think about it, go. And then because it was for a friend or for, you know, some ambiguous deadline, then you would just knock it out. And then when you were done, I would show it back to you and say, look, you did this. And of course, because you did it, it was going to be brilliant. And then say, hey, want help shopping it? And then when some big company greenlights the thing you wrote, you'd be like, what? And then we'd be like, duh. And you'd be like, oh. And we'd be like, duh. And you'd be like, hmm. And we'd be like, really? And then you'd be a big creator. I mean, come on. What do the nerds in Hollywood have over you, huh? Like I said before, I'm not going to forgive myself for not reaching out last week when I really wanted to talk to you, but I thought, I've got this crazy deadline. Once I make my delivery, I'll reach out, maybe over the weekend. And then it was too late. So it's a useful reminder to not procrastinate and to not take for granted the people that you think are especially important. I didn't get to work with you shoulder to shoulder, but I knew you for about 20 years, and there's a lot I will not mention now, but I was always really impressed with you and how you dealt with things in your life and also in media. I always looked forward to your review over anyone else's about political happenings, about the latest, you know, pop media release. And I always wanted to know what you thought of what I did, because in the work that I do in our little industry, I don't think a lot of people even understand what goes into it or what differentiates something good from something passable. And you're one of the touchstones in this business that kept me in this business. Without you around, I guess I have some reevaluating to do. It was never lost on me that this industry would not be anywhere close to where it is today if it weren't for your work and your contribution. I think that's the main thing I want everyone else to understand. And should I ever get the opportunity to work on anything Ava-related, your name's going in those damn credits. One way or another, your name's going in those credits. I love you, Zach. I miss you. And, I'm so sorry. I still have your Gem and the Holograms DVD.
My name is Ben Applegate, and I work in manga editorial and production. I met Zach like so many other people did in the hallway at Anime Expo. We traded business cards, by which I mean he gave me his business card and listened politely while I pretended I knew what I was doing at my first convention as press, and eventually dug out a home-printed perforated business card that said Toon Zone News on it. That was about 15 years ago now. I'd eventually end up on the industry side, and we eventually became friends. He was a passionate and rigorous critic who, to his great credit, refused to look away from some of the elephants in the room of anime fandom. He was also an engaging conversationalist, a gung-ho advocate for more coverage and awareness of manga, and just a good guy to be around. And he was an activist. Over the past 4 years, I became aware of how deep those feelings ran. He believed that the world should be a better place, and that we couldn't just sit around and wish for it. We had to put in the hard work to get there. He had that combination of pragmatism and idealism that people who change the world possess. And I'm sure it's the same combination that made him so successful at ANN. He sacrificed hours and hours making calls, talking to voters in 2016 because he understood the stakes. And he was really one of the only people in my social circle who did. Watching him do that, while I'm ashamed to say I treated a lot of that campaign like a joke, was a major wake-up call for me. But he didn't lord it over people. And when I finally got my act together and started writing postcards to voters and doing phone banks, he took time to thank me for my efforts, which meant a lot to me. Mostly I'm sad I didn't get to know him better, and that there won't be more chances. I assumed we'd both be in this strange little world of anime and manga together for the rest of our lives, but that's not what happened. Thank you for everything, Zach, and rest in peace. I'll miss you.
Okay, this is a small story by Comic Chaser about an exchange I had with Zach during the time period I still hung around in the Can You Survive chat. I think Zach made us all laugh plenty over the years, but for some reason, this weird little interaction always stuck around in my mind. So I don't remember which movie we watched, but Zach started going on about the outfit of one of the characters. He highlighted the shirt in particular, saying what a fresh design it had, I think. And I was having a bad day and was in the mood to take a jab at someone, so I typed, look at Zach Birchy, the fashion expert, or something dumb along those lines. And I don't know why, but he picked up that lame, dismissive comment and replied in a kind of sly tone, Comic Chaser, I know you're being sarcastic, but you are now looking at that shirt, and you will remember it. To which I could only reply with a flabbergasted, huh, fuck, which sent him into a fit of laughter, which in turn sent me into a fit of laughter. And yeah, suddenly that day was A-okay. I believe that was one of Zach's gifts, turning something small and dumb into laughs and just brightening someone's day. And he was right. I still remember that fucking shirt. Thanks, Zach.
I'd like to thank every one of the people who took the time to submit an audio memory to us, and also the people who submitted photos for the live stream version of this. And that's a wrap on Ancast. Zach and I started this show back in 2009, shortly after I moved to LA, and it turned into something that lasted for almost 11 years. This obviously isn't how any of us wanted to see it go out, but continuing the show without Zach was just unthinkable. I'd like to thank our listeners, especially the ones who were there since the beginning. The show was a fun and exciting part of my life, and Zach's as well, not to mention the handful of other regular co-hosts. Be well. Take care of yourselves.